So thank you, CJ, very much. And so today, I'd really like to begin with a prayer that's a really important prayer for me, and it's an indigenous prayer from North America, and it's a prayer that I've been working with for a while, and I'd like to begin with that prayer and open all of our hearts through that prayer. Great mystery, powers of the water, I send a voice in prayer. I'm asking for entrance through the gates of knowledge. I'm seeking to cross the realms. Spirit of the water, help me to be fluid today, to move easily with this work. I turn to the setting sun in the place between day and night, asking guidance for intuition. I pray for the right doors to open, for the ability to look within and make good medicine from my gifts, so that it supports the work and supports the earth and supports the friends and supports the family. I pray that I can grow within this work and be of service to others. Powers of twilight, walk in your mystery and open your gifts that want to be of service today through my work. Thank you for the blessing of work. Thank you for the blessing of gifts. Thank you for the blessing of the earth. I want to talk today about compassion, and I want to talk today about strength and how they really need each other to accomplish anything. And that, you know, we can have all the compassion in the world, but without strength, it's very difficult for us without our strengths, without our gifts and our talents and our assets. The gift of strength is the capacity to really allow ourselves to be in the quality of strength, to have a capacity for exertion and a capacity for endurance. The description is really the power to resist force or attack, or also the capacity for exertion and endurance. And so we have our compassion, and we can look at what the Dalai Lama says about compassion. And he speaks about compassion as really knowing that someone is suffering and we can ease that suffering. And if someone is suffering, if someone is angry, or if someone is in a place of blame or a place of judgment or positionality, we know there's pain involved there. And it's really easy for us when it's or maybe easier for us when we're not involved with that person or we don't know that person, and we can have compassion. We can say, oh, you know, I really want to ease your suffering. I want to, help you in any way that I can and see some relief here. But it's so interesting to me with the description that I gave of strength, that when it comes to our home environments, that we won't apply that same compassion with the combination of the strength. And if we're willing to have that strength and to not be a carpet, I mean, it's really important that we're not a carpet, that we don't have welcome, you know, written on the front of our chest and, you know, please wipe your feet here. It's not about that. Compassion is not about that. Compassion requires strength in order to make a difference. Compassion requires strength in order to make a difference. And, you know, I was gifted this really wonderful calendar not too long ago, and I was looking through the calendar, and it had all of these really wonderful quotes from India, and there was this one particular passage in the calendar, and it was so breathtaking to me, and I memorized it, and it really exemplifies compassion for self, compassion for other, compassion for our dream, and a very deep strength that is so abiding and that will protect love. And for me, compassion is really about protecting love. The protection, the word protection, is indicative that great strength is required. And the quote is, our march toward the infinite is a long journey, not to be finished within a few hours, a few days, or a few years. Though we see many around us falling or retreating, we must go forward. And how do we go forward? You know, these words by Srihab, Swami Srihab, these words by Swami Sri. How do we go forward? With compassion and with strength and with that great humility that is required of us. And there's some words from Eleanor Roosevelt that I've written down here. And she says, we gain strength, courage, and confidence by each experience in which we really stop and look fear in the face. We must do that which we think we cannot. And so I think about our great lack of compassion for ourselves. Many of us have work that we do that is true service. I mean, we are here to serve, and we may be nursing, we may be, perhaps we have a restaurant, such deep service to have a restaurant to nourish people, to feed people. We may be working with homeopathy or hypnotherapy. We may be a doctor. We may be someone who is really interested in the well-being of our children. These are all places of really deep service, or of our elders, tending to our elders. And it's really important that there is a place of reciprocity, that there is a place of mutual support, that there is a place of compassion for ourselves when we are in those places. We can't keep going, you know, as, you know, our march toward the infinite is not accomplished in a few days or a few weeks or a few years, you know, though we see many falling away. We must go forward. And you know, I have a great concern for the limited amount of compassion that we extend toward ourselves in our time alone, even in creating time alone. But there's it takes strength to be very clear about having compassion and love for ourselves. And it's something that must come into being. It's so important that this comes into being in this time, and that we have the strength to set the limits and boundaries that are needed so that we can feel a great compassion for ourselves, because we're not going to be able to keep going if we keep giving and giving and giving and go into states of depletion. Other things happen that are really less than becoming for us and for the people that are around us. And we have some spiritual and physical and emotional activity around that, which is good. And so what is it that we need to do in order to stop feeling ripped off around our time and around our energy and around our resources? And, you know, are we able to have the strength to give the compassion that we so freely give to others to ourselves? And it means to be free from suffering. So I really like what the Dalai Lama, how the Dalai Lama describes it. We see someone is suffering, we want to make a difference there. I also very much see it as namaste. So, you know, the God in me sees the God in you, or the Mayan way to say that is in Lakesh, and then you would say Alaken. So I'm seeing you, I'm seeing the divinity within you. And are we able to say what it is that we need to say in order to really strengthen ourselves and to strengthen our own capacity to see the Creator in the people that we love, and to see the Creator in the people that we don't love, and to see the Creator in ourselves, and to say Alakesh, to say namaste, to say I want to free you from suffering. And I have the strength to do that. You can count on me because I'm reliable, and you will know that I will be able to stand behind you and support you in experiencing compassion in your life, for yourself and for others. So the intention is to work toward the good in ourselves and in others. And I'd like to read you a little quote, another quote from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and this is from The Compassionate Life. And he says, compassion without attachment is possible. Therefore, we need to clarify the distinctions between compassion and attachment. True compassion is not just an emotional response, but a firm commitment founded on reason. Because of this firm foundation, a truly compassionate attitude toward others does not change even if they behave negatively. Genuine compassion is based not on our own projections and expectations, but rather on the needs of the other, irrespective of whether another person is a close friend or an enemy. As long as that person wishes for peace and happiness and wishes to overcome suffering. And on that basis, we develop a genuine concern for their problem. This is genuine compassion. For a Buddhist practitioner, the goal is to develop this genuine compassion, this genuine wish for the well-being of another, in fact, for every living being throughout the universe. And that's from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, from The Compassionate Life. So to work toward the good in ourselves and in others is the most important thing. And am I working towards a creative solution? Am I a solution-based thinker and feeler? Or am I really looking for what is not working, for solutions that I don't even stick to? And this doesn't mean to have compassion. It doesn't mean that we are weak in any way. It means that we're open. It means that we're open-hearted. It means that we are vulnerable. Vulnerability, of course, stems from compassion and stems from easing suffering for ourselves. But it's deeply connected to our courage and is truly one of our most courageous acts. And so compassion requires strength, and it is one of our most courageous acts. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to go for it. You know, we think, oh, well, I'm being compassionate. And so, you know, so when we really start coming into our compassionate nature, there are tests for us. And we experience these tests around, well, really, you know, can you really hold this person as yourself? And can you take this person into account equally or more than you would take yourself into account? Can you really stand behind your love nature? And so there are tests around that. So we think, oh, you know, I'm cruising along and I'm doing great and all these wonderful things are happening. And then we're faced with, you know, Madame Depresso. Or we're faced with someone who's told us a story that we've heard 5 million times before. And it's not a happy story. We're hearing another story, which is really the same story that we've heard many, many, many times. But it's a story that is really hurting that person. You know, so if we tell a story over and over again that is a hurtful story, we are feeling it again. We're oftentimes in reaction, or we're acting something out again and again and again to react something instead of to respond with our hearts from a place of compassion and depth and being real. You know, just that capacity to be really, really real with someone. And so it's tests that are around our authenticity and around our congruency and around our integrity. And so when we really come into our compassionate nature, we're called to synthesize our character traits, such as kindness and courage and steadfastness and the capacity to be deeply loving with another person, the capacity to listen deeply to another person. And with that comes the requirement that we also share what is happening for us. And so this is relational compassion and bringing in our strengths into a compassion that supports our relationship. Now, we also don't want to be tolerating things that are going to be hurtful to us. We don't allow someone to take a baseball bat to us verbally or emotionally or spiritually or physically. That it's really interesting to me how many people really would not allow someone to be violent with them in that way, but how we really tolerate too much in some of our relationships. And not only do we tolerate too much, but we also have a tendency to dish things out that maybe aren't as compassionate or kind, considerate, patient as we would like them to be. We step out of our patience and into a need to be right instead of a need to be kind. And so, and I love that Wayne Dyer, I'm quoting Wayne Dyer in that moment around, you know, when there's a choice to be right or to be kind, always choose kind. And I'm not saying that this is something that's easy to do. I'm saying that it's good work and that it's important work for us all to be doing at this time. We need to come into a patience with ourselves, and we need to come into a patience with other people, and we need to come into a patience with our community and with our planet, with our global community, so that we can see changes there. And there is a need for us at this time to slow down. There's a need for us to write a list of what our strengths are and to honor them and to stand behind them. There's a need for us to come in to all our relationships with a sense of loving compassion with ourselves and with others. There is a need to speak up from that compassionate place. It's really interesting to me that I will see people in a conversation about something, and I don't often hear someone bringing in compassion. Or if I have heard about gossip happening, it's interesting that I don't hear about someone coming in and saying, well, you know, it sounds like that person is suffering, or, you know, it sounds like that's a hard position to be in, or, you know, maybe this isn't our place, maybe we need to pray right now. Maybe our place is to pray and not to talk about this in this way, and to pray for healing. Or maybe we need to have something that is inspiring us instead of tearing things down. We need to build things up. And so it's a concern of mine that we seem at this time to lack the courage to really show ourselves and to show what it is that we really think about things. And I think that it is of the essence at this time that we really use our voice of compassion and our voice of clarity from the strength of the heart in order to create the changes we want to see in the world and internally. Thank you so much for listening. Walk in beauty.